Amen. We'll be in Proverbs 15 this morning. Proverbs 15. Appreciate the Lord this morning. Thankful for His good blessings. Amen. Chris, would you take us to the Lord in prayer?
Father, this morning we are grateful, Lord, that we are able to come together, Lord, to hear the Word of God.
Yeah, Lord.
We pray, God, this morning that You might, Lord, touch us and help us. I pray, Lord, that You might move in the midst of us, Lord, open our ears and our hearts.
Lord,
ask You, Lord, for these teachers that are standing. I pray, God, that You use them mightily. Ask You also that You might, Lord, fill them with Your power. And, Lord, use this time, Lord, to help us and bring us into that place, Lord, to be obedient or be called upon, whatever this is, this hour. I pray, God, You do what's necessary, Lord, to fill our need.
Yeah.
I pray, Father, this morning that You continue to help us, Lord, to get what's needed. And, Lord, that we might also look to Your presence. And, Father, I pray all these things, Lord, that You get honor and glory.
Yeah.
For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
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 We'll
look at verse 10. I'm going to read just a few verses. You pray for me. My mind's going in about 100 different directions this morning. I want the will of God to be done. Got a lot of things I could say about this, but I only want to say what God would have me say. Proverbs 15, verse 10 says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Amen. It's talking about correction. Talks about correction. As I think about this morning, there's a correction certainly upon the children of God, upon the church. It's called chastisement. You can read Hebrews 12 and get a real good picture of that. The Bible tells us that God chasteneth every son that He loveth. Everyone. If you're God's child this morning, you've been corrected. There ain't a one of you, unless you just got saved this morning, there ain't a one in here that has not faced and experienced the hand of God upon you when you get out of the will of God.
Right.
It's called chastisement in the Bible. It's the correction of a father because he loves us.
Yeah.
And it tendeth to righteousness.
Yeah.
God's not sitting up there with a hickory looking down here just waiting for His children to mess up so He can beat them.
No.
He's trying to teach us. He's trying to mold us and shape us to be like His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk in righteousness. That is the purpose of the chastisement of a father. Most of us in here this morning has children, grandchildren. We understand that. As children, we were on one end of that stick. As parents and grandparents, we've been on the other end of that stick. So we know both ends of it. And it's just like the Bible tells us here, that correction is grievous. That word grievous, that comes from the root word grieve, to grieve, to grieve. When you have the death of a loved one, you grieve. When you have some tough bump in the road to come your way in life, you grieve. What does that mean? It saddens you. It worries you. It will control you if you're not careful. It can cause discouragement, even depression. It's not, correction is grievous. That's what the Bible, it's not supposed to be pleasant. And every child of God faces that. And we that's been saved knows that. As I've said many of times, since I've been saved, especially in my early years, I was up and down. I was inconsistent. And trust me, I and God have went down the path down there to the spiritual woodshed a few times. And I did not enjoy it. And by the grace of God, I don't want to get back and go there again either. It's grievous. But all that being said about a child of God, I want to leave that at that this morning. And I want to really look at it on the other side. Correction toward a sinner. Someone who has never been saved by the grace of God. Someone who is, quote, lost. Still dead in trespasses and sins. There is correction on them. And it is just as grievous as what is on a child of God. If not worse. If not worse. That correction, there's judgment. There's men sitting up there in the correctional center this morning under correction. That's why they call it the correctional center. They're being punished. Why? Because they didn't do right. Amen? And trust me, I go in there. And I preach to them boys and I pray with them and I talk to them. And trust me, I see the look on their face. I've seen tears running down their cheeks. I've seen the emotions they go through, the roller coaster of emotions they ride in there. And trust me, it's grievous. It is not a pleasant experience. Those that consider it pleasant and tolerable is the ones I really worry about. Because if correction's having no effect on them, that means that it's not very likely they're on the path toward getting right. They've done got comfortable in their sin. They've done got to the point where correction is something they've learned to accept. They just take it. I mean, I've had them stand up there and tell me they were getting out in a few days. And I'd go back a couple weeks later, and they'd be right back in there. And I had one to tell me one time, he said, I've done something on purpose. I wanted to get caught. He said, because as long as I'm in here, I get 3 free meals a day and a bed to sleep in and get to watch TV and do what I want to do, and I don't have to work. He's in bad shape. He needs the corrected hand of God upon him, and we would call it conviction. Conviction of sin. Now, if you've been saved, you fell under conviction of sin. There is no doubt about that. There is no such thing as a child of God that got saved without coming face to face with their sin problem. And without God revealing to them what they are. Amen? I remember when I fell under conviction, Brother Todd. And it was grievous. It was not a pleasant experience. It was a profitable experience for me because it led to my salvation. Amen? It was the will of God. Amen? So it was a purposeful correction. Amen? It was a profitable correction. But trust me, it wasn't a pleasant correction. Not to my flesh. Amen? I remember for about the last 2-3 months before God saved me, I'd come to the house of God. And I'd sit right back over here on this side. I think it's about the second or third row. With Susan and Josh, they were small then. And every time Brother Hyde come out behind this pulpit preaching, I couldn't tell you a word he was saying. But I felt like I wanted to crawl under that pew and hide. Why? Because I knew I was not right with God. And the convicting hand of God's correction was upon me. And I could not get away from it. And I say, thank God I couldn't. I'm glad now I couldn't get away from the correcting hand of God. Amen. That led to my salvation, Brother John. Amen. I saw myself for what I was for the first time in my life. Amen. I had been that person ever since I was a young lad. Ever since I came to a place where I understood right from wrong, at that point, I became responsible to God. Amen. Now, there is a period of innocence. I'm not going to argue with nobody this morning how long that is. I've heard people say 12 years old is the age. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Because everybody I've ever heard say that, they say, well, they base that on the fact that Jesus was found at 12 years old in there discussing the law, with the lawyers and the teachers in the temple. That ain't got nothing to do with accountability to God. There is no age of accountability. It's a set age that happens on a certain day for every child. I believe it's different for different people. I'll tell you what, you can agree with me or disagree with me, I believe there are people in this world say that mentally they're what we would call handicapped. And they have no real understanding as we do. They were not blessed with that. For what God's going to get glory out of their life. But for whatever reason, they don't have the mental capacity we have, Brother Todd, and they don't understand. I believe they're still in innocence. I really do. How can you be accountable if you don't understand you've done wrong? Bible teaches that. Plus, that's just common sense. But there does come an age. There does come a time. And I believe it could be as a small child, probably younger than most of y'all would believe. When they come to the point they understand there's a right and there's a wrong, and they willfully rebel against what they know is right and know what they're doing, they're accountable to God. I believe that. Correction is a grievous thing. Conviction is a grievous thing. It's not pleasant, Brother Todd. Every child of God, right before they got saved, fell under that. Now, I understand some don't go through as deep a conviction and as hard a conviction as others do. Why? Well, maybe they were morally a pretty good person, and even though none are no better than anybody else, we're all equal before God, we're all sinners, and we're all equally accountable and equally in danger of hell if we don't get born again. But there are some that's not built up as high of an account of sin in their life as others. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. Some people, when it comes to sin, are worse than others in that sense. Not before God, but just in that sense. I'll remind you, the Bible says, it was talking about over there, said, those that the most is forgiven, they'll love the most. Why? Because I believe that conviction for them was so deep and so hard, Brother John, and so tough, and it pulled on their hearts so strong because they were so wicked and they knew it. God gave them that understanding. And they felt even more wicked and dirty and defiled and guilty before God than maybe somebody else who was decently moral. Well, it's like it says over, I mean, as I said, I'm going to just use the example. I ain't going to use that figure. If somebody owed you a dollar and another fellow owed you $500 and you forgave both of them, which one do you think would be the most grateful? There you go. And that's what that parable teaches. Amen? But correction is grievous. It's not pleasant. It's hard, Miss Camille. I remember when you said you got saved. I remember Sister Linda, right here. I remember that night. I guarantee you the details ain't as clear in my mind as it is hers, because that's her testimony. But I was sitting right back there, and at the time, buddy, at the time, I was lost. I was in here on a profession, but I was lost. And I don't know for sure, so I'm not going to say, but I'm going to tell you what, Miss Linda, I think that night you got saved might be one of the first times it ever really started hitting me. I mean, hard. And I saw what happened to her. She'd been in this church for years, since she was a very young lady. Had a profession. And God revealed to her what she didn't have was real. That worked on me, Miss Linda. God used that. God used that among many other things. But I'm going to tell you what, but I remember them last couple months. Son, I'd sit at the house. I couldn't get no peace of mind. I couldn't get no peace in my heart, Miss Camille. You know what? I was trying to convince myself I was all right. That's where most sinners wind up at. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm okay. I mean, God's pressing down on them, and the pressure's getting stronger and stronger and more uncomfortable. And they'll sit there and they'll lie to themselves and say, I'm all right. Is that right? Anybody in here can testify you went through that? I did. But man, I'm okay. I'm all right. Every time I did that, well, God pressed a little harder and said, you sure? You sure? God already knew, Brother Todd. He wasn't asking me if I was sure so he could find out. He wanted me to see it. You know, you have to come to the point where you see it. You have to come to that knowledge of what you are before you'll ever desire to be saved. Do you realize that? Do you know if I go to the doctor tomorrow and I feel fine this morning, I feel pretty good, I have no signs of any grave disease in my body that I know of, and if I went there and that doctor didn't run a test or anything else, they just looked at me and said, I think you got cancer, Mr. Blackwelder, I'd probably laugh at him. He said, I think we need to cut you open, do exploratory surgery and see if we can't find it. I'd laugh at him. I'd say, you ain't cutting me open. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You realize that's the way it is with a lot of sinners? When God first starts dealing with them, oh, I don't want to be cut on. Oh, don't come around here cutting on me, God. I'm all right. You see, here's something. The great physician can already see what's in man. Before we ever see it, he already knows what's in our heart. He already knows where we're at and who we are. He knows that. But you've got to see that if you're a sinner. You have to see that. I would never want the treatment or the medicine if you didn't convince me that I was sick and needed it. Is that right? Until a sinner is convinced that they are dead in trespasses and sins and on their way to hell, they'll never want Christ. They've got to see that. And I'm going to tell you what, that correction is grievous. But look what it says. Who is it grievous to? Unto him that forsaketh the way. Now, I've already talked about it with a child of God. You get out of the will of God, you're going to face correction. But a sinner forsakes the way. How many people in this country do you reckon has heard the gospel in some shape, fashion, or form? There's probably not many that hasn't. And they forsake it. Yeah. Forsake it means to just pitch it to the side and throw it away and count it of no value. I don't need it. What do you do with trash? You throw it away. Why? It's no value to you. That's why they throw the gospel away, Brother Dennis. They don't see no value in it for them. And until they do it, until they fall under the convicting hand of God, until the Holy Ghost convicts them of their sin, they'll never see the value of Christ. Never. But boy, thank God for that glorious day when He comes to you and opens your eyes. Amen. And you see Him. You see Him. I've heard of many of you testifying here. I like Brother Keith's testimony. So he was sitting there and he said it's just like God just rolled everything back out of the way and he could clearly see and it was just the Holy Ghost said, it's Him. It's Him. It's Him. That is the rock and the foundation of the gospel. Him. Him. Many things we hear coming across pulpits today. Oh, come up here and give your life to Jesus and give your heart to Jesus so you can be rich, so you won't be sick, so everybody will like you, so you can get a promotion at work, so you can get that big new house you lust after, so you can get a new car. That ain't what the Bible says. He came to save from sin. Period. That's the purpose of His coming. Jesus Himself promised His children that we would receive persecution if we live godly. Is that right, Brother Todd? You come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, buddy, and get on the right path instead of forsaking it. You mark her down. This world is going to hate you and persecute you. And I'll tell you what's worse than that, Brother John. There'll be people that claims to be Christians that's inside the own house, in the house of God. We call them tares. They'll persecute you worse than the world will. But correction is grievous. He said to those who forsake the way. Look at verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. That means He sees it. It's in front of Him. He's in full view of it. He's got it. He knows everything that's going on in hell. He knows who's there. He knows who's on the way there. You get that? He knows it all. There's nothing God don't know. Nothing. Nothing. He knows all about hell and destruction. But look at the rest of the verse. It said, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. Doesn't say children of God, says children of men. Sinners, lost folk. He knows what's in the heart of sinners. Is that right?
Yes.
He knows. You're not going to fool God. You're not going to trick Him. No sinner gets by. Well, they think, oh, don't nobody see me doing this. God does. Is that right?
Sure.
God sees everything. Everything is before the eyes of the Lord. There is no secret that can be hid from Him. You may be here this morning, you may think you've got your family fooled. You may think you've got mom and daddy fooled. Or brothers and sisters, or your neighbors, or the people you work with. They might would even stand up and testify on your behalf. Oh yeah, he's a good person. She's a good lady. I believe they know the Lord. That's something that only you and God knows in your own heart, if it's real or not. You say, we're in Sunday school this morning, Brother Danny. I mean, everybody pretty much here professed to be saved. Why are you hitting this? Because God told me to. Somebody here this morning needs to hear this. Why would you want to continue to walk under the oppression of correction when you can walk in the pleasantness and the peace of God? Why would you want to hold on to that? God sees what you're doing. He knows what you are. Child of God, He knows where you're at this morning. I don't know where none of you's at. As far as I know, all of you's closer to God than I am. I ain't judging a soul. I don't know. You do. You do. How close are you to God this morning? Are you where you ought to be? Or are you walking afar? I've done that before, Brother Todd. As a child of God, I walked afar. It's lonely when you're walking alone. It's lonely. Correction's grievous. It's grievous. God knows. Look at verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Neither will he go unto the wise. Do you know the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God?
Yeah.
If you don't fear God this morning, I doubt you know Him. Oh, I'm not saying, oh, God's some big bad bully up there and you're scared. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a love and a reverence for God Almighty and a respect for His holiness and His righteousness. And He's, John, He's just as you love your daddy. I mean, you want to do right before your dad. Why? Because you love Him and you know that pleases Him. And it doesn't grieve His heart for you. And that all comes from a love in your heart for Him. Is that right? If you're saved, you'll want to walk in the ways of God because it pleases and satisfies your Heavenly Father. And if you don't care how you're making God feel, I seriously doubt you know Him this morning. I ain't talking about you slip once in a while and you fall off and say, I ain't what I'm talking about, and you know it. I'm talking about continually. Every day in your life, you profess to be saved, but you just keep going on and keep going on and keep going back to sin and keep walking in sin and have no concern for it. None. None. Oh, you might feel a little bad because, you know, you're making your family worry about you. It ain't between you and your family. Well, that's good if it bothers you. You know, you're hurting those that love you, but it ain't between you and them. It's between you and God. And if you have no concern for how you make God fit, if you don't care what God thinks of you when He looks down here upon you, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. You are in need of being quickened. You are in need of Christ. Because every child of God loves the Father. Every one of them. Do we mess up sometimes? Sure we do. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about continually living in sin and no real concern. You say, explain it to me. Just lay it right out. I will. I ain't talking about it bugs you a little bit. That ain't what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about it even makes you lay in bed maybe once in a while at night and cry yourself to sleep because you're ashamed of yourself, Brother John. I'm talking about it affects you to the point that it moves you to action and makes you want to get right with God. Yes. Effectual feelings in your heart. I mean being troubled in your soul because you know you're about that far away and a half a breath away from hell. That's a pretty, pretty narrow gap you're trying to walk. You ever seen them fellas trying to walk a tightrope? You ain't getting me out there, buddy. I don't care if that thing ain't been put off the ground. You ain't getting me on one of them ropes trying to walk. Why? I know I can't do it. But yet sinners in their arrogance, Brother Hyde, constantly, just every day. Oh, God, don't let me fall. One of these days, God's going to call your name. And you're going to fall. And if you think correction here in this life is rough, think about hell. That'll be eternal correction. That's how hell and destruction is before God. That's where you'll be. You can laugh it off if you want to. That's where you'll be. That's real. That's reality. Me and Brother Hyde was talking before the service this morning. I will say this. Salvation is not or does not come because you're scared you're going to die and go to hell. It don't come because you want to go to heaven when you die. It's because you want Him. If salvation in your life is centered around anything else other than Him. Now look. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not going to hell. That's wonderful. I'm thankful for that. That's a benefit of salvation. That don't bring salvation. Am I right? It's you want Him. And you don't just want His blessings He can give you. You want Him to be like Him. I've heard Brother Hyde many times testify. He just said he was sick and tired of sin. He was sick of it. He wanted to do it. What he wanted his life to change. If you're here this morning and you don't know God, do you want your life to change? I ain't talking about you want to stop getting in trouble. Or you want to be a little more likable person so you'll have more friends. I'm talking about do you want to be right before God Almighty? Do you? Child of God, the people we love and you're praying for, do you want that for them? Because that is salvation. I remind you, this Bible says salvation is knowing God and His Son Jesus Christ. And that's just not knowing who they are. That's knowing them. Personal relationship. Hey, if God's your Heavenly Father, you look here this morning, I'll show you something. Look at Brother Todd. Look at Jonathan. They favor, don't they? That's because that's His boy. If you're God's child in character and behavior and spirituality, you're going to favor your father more and more the longer you're saved. You say, well, I've been saved 30 years, but you know, you can look at your own life and you have no real desire for the things of God, Miss Brenda. Not no real evidence there, scriptural evidence to back up what you're saying. Is that right? And we know people like that, don't we? I'm not kicking them this morning. I'm just saying we should pray for them. They're in darkness. They cannot see where they're at. They need their blinded eyes to be opened. They need to be rescued out from under that correction. Sin's beating them up, Brother Chris. It's killing them, and they're going to die. We read that. When they forsake the way, they'll die. That ain't just talking about physical death, and you go down there and they put you in the coffin. That's talking about the second death, spiritual death, eternal death, Brother Randy, forever. Do you realize death is, if you really get right down to a technical definition of it, it's nothing but a separation. Death is not ceasing to exist. You'll never cease to exist. I don't care if you're a child of God, Miss Camille, or if you're a sinner. You'll never cease to exist. You're going to be somewhere in some condition forever. Is that right? Where are you and your loved ones going to be when the curtain comes down all this and God comes back and it's over and there's no more chances and hell and destruction is before the Lord? Sinners will be judged and they will receive no mercy. If sinners want mercy in this day and time before the Lord comes, they better seek it now. In hell, they'll be completely separated from God. Yes, there'll be flames. Yes, there'll be torment. There'll be darkness. There'll be gnashing of teeth. There'll be all those things, Brother Todd. But the worst thing about hell will be complete and total, eternal, forever separation from the good God of heaven. What we call common grace. God allows it to rain even on the just and the unjust. That's the mercy of God, even on sinners. Even the most wicked of sinners, for the most part, has something to eat every day. The rain falls on them. They're breathing. They're walking. They're talking. They're allowed to have a life. Even as bad as they're destroying it. And everything around them. The long suffering of God is extending mercy to them. But one day, the curtain's coming down and it's going to be over. And it could be today. Could be. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Do you, Brother Dennis? I told Brother Dennis this. I was talking to a fellow the other day where I live. Well, I guess about a week and a half ago now. He was telling me, he said, what do you think about so-and-so? One of them people on TV. I ain't even calling his name. He ain't worth it. I ain't advertising for him. But they told me, he said, what about him? He said, he knows when the Lord's coming back. I told him, I said, he does. He said, yeah. I said, that's pretty good. I said, you know the Bible says that the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father don't even know when he's coming back for his children until the Father tells him? Brother Todd, I looked at that fellow, I said, I ain't trying to be a smart aleck, buddy. I said, but I just want to ask you a question. If Jesus don't know till the Father tells him, what makes you think God's told that rascal on television? People chasing after falsehoods. Chasing after false hopes. Dreaming impossible dreams. Refusing to face reality. Why? It's too painful and they don't want to face it. It's grievous. Is that right?
Yes.
Look over in Jeremiah for just a minute. I want to read this. Anybody familiar with the Bible knows exactly where I'm going. Jeremiah 17. And look at verse 9 and 10. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now that verse tells us two things. The human heart, that is the seat of our desires and our emotions and everything else that drives us and makes us what we are. That's not that organ pumping blood in us. That's not what that's talking about right there. This is the seat of the affections. Amen. What does God say about a human heart? It says, deceitful above all things. That's why sinners lie to themselves and tell themselves they're all right. They're deceiving themselves. And they're desperately wicked. And it says, who can know it? Here's the answer. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again in closing. Don't get me wrong what I'm saying now. Don't jump off the ship now and turn your hearing aid off yet. Hear me out. Okay? Hear me out. I know our sins as a child of God are forgiven. I know that, Brother Todd. But there is no sin that's ever been committed on this earth by anybody or ever will be committed till the end that will not be paid for. You say, wait a minute, my sin's forgiven. That's right, because they were paid for. God will judge sin. All of it. Here's my question as I close, as you sit here this morning. You're either a child of God in here this morning that knows and loves people that's lost, has family that's lost, you should be praying for them, concerned about them, or you're sitting here this morning and you know in your heart you don't know God. Here's my question. When it's all over and done with, when it's all over and the Lord's come back and everything's in front of the judgment seat, here's my question to you. Are you going to be standing there redeemed because Jesus paid for your sins? Or are you going to stand there and be damned because you're going to have to pay for them? If you don't know the Lord this morning, you will pay for your sins one day if you're not born again. Bottom line, that is the truth. You can believe that, you can reject it, you can take it however you want to. It's the truth. And it will not be pleasant. It will be grievous. Is that right, Brother Tom? May God have mercy on us as children of God. That we would get, dead serious in our secret place, Brother Dennis, praying for our friends and loved ones that don't know God. This is not a joke. This is serious. I've got family this morning that I am concerned is going to die and go to hell if God don't reach them. And above anybody else on this earth, it's up to me. It's my responsibility as my flesh and blood to be trying to carry them to Christ in prayer. Are we doing that this morning in all sincereness? Or you may be sitting here this morning, no, you've never been saved by the grace of God. Judgment day is coming. And you will face the judgment hand of God if you don't seek Christ and be found of Him. You will. He could come before this service is over. This is serious business. Is that right? Correction is grievous in whatever form you receive it. Amen. Brother Dennis, if you close us in prayer, I appreciate it.